Okay? The English word Passover is not even in existence until Tyndale is working on the Old Testament in 1530. He coins the term Passover when he's working on the Pentateuch in 1530. Okay? So that means that the Greek word Pascha meant Easter in English before that word even what? Existed. Tyndale and Luther both, in their respective languages, viewed Easter as an appropriate way of rendering what word? Pascha. So they clearly didn't think it was what? Exclusively pagan. Okay? So you got to track with me here as we do this sort of detective work here. Okay? So, I'm in the middle of that point. New research conducted since our last study, I was busy this week, has revealed that the West Saxon Gospels from 990 and 1175 use some form of Easter exclusively in their respective texts to refer to the Jewish Passover, just as the Middle English Dictionary asserted. Okay? An examination of Appendix C on page 14, so why don't you get your appendix, okay? And look at the first two columns there. You'll see you have the West Saxon Gospels of 990 and the West Saxon Gospels of 1175. Now, that's only the Gospels. That does not include the Book of Acts or the Epistles or the Book of Revelation. It's only a translation of the Gospels. So the word Pascha only occurs how many times in the Gospels? It's only there 26 times. But look at every time. What did the West Saxon Gospels of 990 and 1175, what did they have all 26 times? Easter. They had Easter every time. Okay? Now we're really going back. If Tyndale doesn't invent the term, if he doesn't invent the term until 1530, we can go all the way back to the West Saxon Gospels of 990 and see that what was an appropriate way of expressing and referring to the Jewish Passover? Easter. Is everybody with that? Okay? So, next point. The West Saxon Gospels clinch the argument that Easter was not an exclusively pagan word, as well as prove beyond doubt that Easter was used for centuries to refer to the Jewish Passover in the biblical text. Okay? This is not even a point that is in dispute now. Okay? The evidence is there. The evidence is overwhelming and irrefutable about what's going on here. Okay? So, let's go to the next point. Pascha meant Easter in English before the word Passover was ever coined by Tyndale in 1530 when he was working on his translation of the Pentateuch. The Hebrew word pax, I don't know if I pronounced that right, occurs 22 times in 21 verses in the Pentateuch. Now, that's the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis through Deuteronomy, okay? As previously stated, the English word Passover did not exist before Tyndale invented it in 1530. The Oxford English Dictionary confirms this by reporting that the first known usage of Passover in English was in Tyndale's translation of the Pentateuch in 1530. Okay? Now, if you go to page 12 in your notes, you will see a picture, Appendix A, of the entry in the Oxford English Dictionary for Passover. You will see that it is related to the festival commemorating the liberation of the Jewish people from Egyptian bondage. And what is the first dated occurrence of that word offered there? 1530. That word didn't exist. That word was never used until Tyndale coins the term when? In 1530. Now, Tyndale is, think about that. Tyndale is translating the Old Testament and he encounters the story where the angel of death what? Passes over. And so Tyndale says, okay, we gotta have a better word now to what? To explain this, right? And so he picks a word that is descriptive of that action, right? And so he literally coins the term to describe what happened there. And he does it in 1530 when he's working on the Old Testament, right? But when he was working on the New Testament, he used what? Easter. Okay? So it's not until 1530 that he invents the term. So Pascha meant Easter before Passover is even what? Even invented or even a word in the English lexicon. Okay? So, in summation, in English, the Jewish feast day of Passover was known as Easter before the word Passover was even invented. Okay? Now, go to page 4. So, you know, just the story of Tyndale. Not long after that, Tyndale is going to be arrested, and he is eventually going to have his throat slit and be burned at the stake by the King of England as a heretic for translating the Bible into English. Okay, Tyndale does this translation, his translation of the New Testament and the Old Testament in exile in Germany, which is friendlier, obviously, to Protestantism in the 1520s and 30s because of Luther's Reformation. And there are a lot of other factors that we will talk more about when we get to these things in our regular class as we study through the issues related to the Bible. But for our purposes now, I want you to go to page 4 and we'll look at Miles Coverdale in 1535. In 1535, Miles Coverdale published the first complete translation of the Hebrew and Greek into English. Recall from above that Wycliffe's earlier work from the late 1400s, I should say late 1300s, had been a translation of the Latin Vulgate into Middle English. Coverdale had access to Tyndale's work to inform his translation on the New Testament as well as the Pentateuch. Okay, so when Coverdale goes to translate, does he have access to Tyndale's New Testament? Does he have access to the Genesis through Deuteronomy, what Tyndale did? The rest of it, he's got to do what? Himself. Okay? So, Coverdale had access to Tyndale's work to inform his translation on the New Testament as well as the Pentateuch. This does not mean, however, that Coverdale followed Tyndale with verbatim identicality. Above we saw that all 22 times that the Hebrew word for Passover occurred in the Pentateuch, Tyndale rendered it as Passover in English. Of those 22 occurrences in the Pentateuch, Coverdale translated as Passover 5 times and Easter 17 times. Now what does that tell you? That tells you that just because he invented the term in 1530, that term immediately replaced Easter as a way of describing the Jewish Passover. No. Go back to your table. Okay? Find the column that says Coverdale. And you want to get the Old Testament. Find the one for the Old Testament. So if you find the column for Coverdale in the Old Testament, you will see that the first 5 times the word occurs, he said Passover in the Pentateuch. And the rest of those times in the Pentateuch, he said what? Easter. Is Coverdale using Easter and Passover as interchangeable terms? Okay? So let's go back to the notes. So of the 22 occurrences in the Pentateuch, Coverdale translated as Passover 5 times and some form of Easter 17 times. And I've given you the breakdown there in the notes. I'm not going to read all that to you because you can see it in the table that I gave you. Okay? So, all told, of the 48 occurrences of the word Passover in the Old Testament, 25 times Coverdale used the English word Easter. The remaining 23 times he used the English word Passover. Therefore, it is clear that Coverdale viewed Easter and Passover as interchangeable terms to describe the Jewish feast. In fact, in 2 Chronicles 30, Coverdale uses the terms interchangeably in the same context. Okay? So, look at 2 Chronicles 31. Now, you're going to look at this and say, I can't read this. That's fine. I gave you the whole verse, but look at the bolded. What did he say in verse 31? And what did he say in chapter 30, verse 1? He says, keep what? Easter unto the Lord God of Israel. Look at verse 2. The very next verse, he says, to keep what? Passover. In verse 1, he called it Easter. In verse 2, he calls it what? Passover. Same, 3 verses later in verse 5, he says, should come to keep Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. He says Passover. Verse 15, same chapter. And slew the Passover on the 14th day of the second month. And then you look at 2 Chronicles 30, verse 18, three verses after that, and he says, but ate the Easter what? Lamb. So in the same chapter, is Coverdale using Easter and Passover interchangeably as synonyms to refer to the Jewish feast? Okay? Now, why would he be doing that? Because they have a whole tradition of what? They have a whole tradition in the English language of referring to it as what? Easter as a legitimate word to use to refer to the Jews' what? Passover. Okay? So look at the next one. So now we're on to this one. I don't have a copy of Coverdale. I wish I did. If anyone ever comes across one that's not $600, let me know. This is the Matthew's Bible from 1537. The Matthew's Bible was published in 1537 by John Rogers under the pseudonym Thomas Matthew, during a time when printing the Bible in English was both illegal and risky. Rogers' translation was largely identical to that of Coverdale's in at least half the work, according to English Bible historian David Norton. The Matthew's Bible nearly standardized the use of Passover in the Old Testament by using it 47 out of 48 times. So look at your chart on the Old Testament. Find the column for Matthew's. Run your eye down that column and you will see Passover every time except which time? Except Ezekiel 45 where it's what? Easter. Okay, now do you see, just observe what's happening. Okay? What's happening? Is Passover gaining more acceptance as an appropriate way of expressing the Jewish Passover as time is going on here? Okay? But is it still used exclusively to refer to the Jewish Passover? Not yet. Okay? So, go back to the notes. The same, however, could not be said for the New Testament. Rogers followed Tyndale and translating the Greek word Pascha as some form of Paschal 3 times and some form of Easter 26 times. The verses in which these various forms are used are identical between the work of Tyndale and Rogers. So get your New Testament chart. Look at Tyndale. Look at Matthew's. And you will see that they are identical. Matthews is using Paschal in the same verses that Tyndale used, and he's using Easter in the same verses that Tyndale used. Okay? So once again, are these still being used as interchangeable terms? So Matthew's Old Testament uses Passover every time except what? Once, but his New Testament is still using Easter 26 out of 29 times, and does not yet include what in the text. Does not yet include the word Passover in the New Testament text in 1537. Okay? So you can see that there, therefore, in the tables. So, from this we see once again that Passover had not yet supplanted Easter as the preferred English translation of Pascha. So then we go to the next translation, which is the Great Bible of 1539. The next English translation, again conducted by Miles Coverdale, was the Great Bible of 1539, also known as Cramer's Bible because of the preface by the Archbishop included in the second edition onwards. This was the first major revision of Tyndale done under the auspices of the English Church. I do not have a copy of the Great Bible. I wish I did. And again, if you can find one for less than $1,000, let me know. Probably a lot less than $1,000. But if I can get one, I want to get one, okay? In terms of the Old Testament, the Great Bible was similar to Matthew's in that it used the word Passover 47 out of 48 times, okay? The Bible, like Matthew's Bible, utilized Easter in Ezekiel 45:21. And I've given you the verses there. And again, you can look at your chart of Old Testament occurrences and you can see that both Matthew's in 1537 and the Great Bible in 1539 have Passover every time in the Old Testament except how many times? One. Okay? The same, however, could not be said for the Great Bible's New Testament text. Of all the Reformation-era Bibles published we have looked at so far, the Great Bible exhibits the most diversity in terms of how the Greek word Pascha was translated in the New Testament. In fact, there is an almost 50-50 split between Easter and Passover in the Great Bible's New Testament. Of the 29 times the Pascha occurs in the text, the Great Bible uses some form of Easter 15 times, and Passover how many times? So this is the first time we see anyone ever translating Pascha as what? Passover. And it's almost an even split between how many times they said, how many times it was Passover and how many times it was what? Easter. Okay, so look at, you can see that. If you look at your table there for the Great Bible, you can see that 50-50 split highlighted for you as you look at the different uses of each one. Okay? So, furthermore, the Great Bible uses the words interchangeably within the same context in multiple different passages. So, Matthew 26:2, he says, "Ye know that after 2 days shall be Easter." Matthew 26:17 says, "Eat the Passover." The very next verse, Matthew 26:18 says, "I will keep mine Easter with my disciples." So, verse 2 said Easter, verse 17 said Passover, verse 18 said what? Easter. Verse 19, the next verse, says what? Both. Three verses, verse 17, verse 18, verse 19, twice it's Passover, once it's Easter. If you take all of Matthew 26, two times it's Easter, two times it's what? Passover. Now, in that context, if the Great Bible clearly meaning to use that word to refer to this, those two words refer to the same thing. Yep. Absolutely. That's the only way that even makes sense. Same thing in Luke 22:1. He calls, he mentions Easter. And then in Luke 22, verse 7, 8, 11, 13, 15, it was Passover. But the chapter started off with Easter. You look at John 18:28. It's Passover. A few verses later in verse 39, it's what? It's Easter. Okay? So, translated in 1539, 9 years after Tyndale coined the term Passover in 1530, the Great Bible is the first English New Testament to connect the Greek word Pascha with the newly minted English word Passover. Moreover, the move to Passover, nearly half of the time in the Great Bible, is representative of a growing acceptance and confidence in the word Passover's ability to communicate the sense of the Greek text in English. Mark well, however, that it took 13 years, 1526 through 1539, for the Greek word Pascha to be connected with the English word Passover. Even after the word Passover was invented, it took 9 years and three English translations for the connection between Pascha and Passover to be formally established. Therefore, the notion that Pascha never meant Easter in English is completely false. The connection had been established and in use for 13 years in three different English translations before Passover first appeared in the New Testament text of an English Bible. Now, folks, we're just making the case here, right, about what's going on. The case to me, when you actually look at it, it's a slam dunk case. They're using Easter, the English, they're using Easter as an appropriate way of saying what? Passover, and they're using it how? They're using them interchangeably. So, that means that anybody that says to you that Pascha never meant Easter doesn't know what they're talking about. And they've never spent 10 seconds looking at it, or they would have known this. Okay? I know that sounds somewhat uncharitable, but it's true. You get on the correct Bible, you get on the correct software program, and literally in 30 seconds, you can see what's going on here. Okay? Do you mind shutting the door, Ron, please? So then we get to the Geneva Bible. Okay? So after the publication of the Great Bible in 1539, the English-speaking world would have to wait 18 years before a new translation of the Bible would appear. This new translation was the 1557 Geneva New Testament. Okay? According to Bible historian David Norton, English Bible historian David Norton, the Geneva Bible was the first truly collaborative English version. It was the work of a dozen or so Protestant scholars living in exile from an England that had returned to Catholicism under Queen Mary. You know, you've heard of Bloody Mary? She got that name by executing Protestants, okay? So these guys are living in exile in Calvin's Geneva, Switzerland, when they make this translation of the New Testament in 1557. The leader was William Whittingham, who had produced a remarkable preliminary draft in the 1557 Geneva New Testament. Okay? 3 years later, in 1560, a complete Bible would be published by these Genevan exiles. Okay? Now, here's the point. Rather than follow the Great Bible in expanding the use of Passover in the New Testament, the 1557 Geneva New Testament significantly reversed the trend. So if you saw a trend in the Great Bible of turning to Passover more often, in 1557, the Genevan exiles, they reverse that and go back to using what word? Easter for their New Testament. Okay? Now, the English word Passover is only found three times in the 1557 Geneva New Testament. And if you look at your table here, and you look at Geneva New Testament, 1557, you'll see in that column that Passover is only there how many times? Three times. Matthew 26:17, Matthew 26:19, and Luke 22:7. Twice the term Paschal Lamb is used in Mark 14:12 and John 18:28 by the Genevan exiles, a phrase that did not appear at all in the Great Bible. The remaining 24 occurrences of Pascha were rendered as some form of Easter in the 1557 Geneva New Testament. One similarity between the Great Bible and the Geneva New Testament was that Passover and Easter were used interchangeably in the same passage. Now, I did not have the capacity to electronically copy and paste that, so I just gave you the references there. So you take Matthew 26, again, as an example. In verse 2, the 1557 Geneva New Testament said Easter. A few verses later, down in verse 17, they had Passover. In verse 18, they go back to Easter. In verse 19, they go back to what? Passover. Okay? So, that is a reversal of the trend that we saw previous with the Great Bible. So, you can see here that is there uncertainty? Maybe not. Is there still a growing confidence about whether or not that should be used? Not really. Now it's a matter of what? Which one do you want to use? Do you want to use this one or do you want to use what? Or do you want to use that one? Okay? Now, I have here the 1560 complete Geneva Bible. So as stated above, in 1560, a complete English Bible containing both Old and New Testaments was published in Geneva, Switzerland. The Geneva Bible was groundbreaking in many respects that we will discuss in due course in our regular class on the King James Bible. For the purposes of this lesson, it is important to note that the Geneva Bible was the first English translation to use the word Passover all 29 times that Pascha is found in the Greek text. So if you look at your chart, look at Geneva 1560, and what do you see for the first time? You see all Passover, all 29 times. Okay? Does everybody see that in the chart? So, by 1560, there were 34 years of translational practice in terms of using the English word Easter to express the Greek word Pascha. In addition, 21 years of translational tradition existed, 1539 to 1560, during which the English words Easter and Passover were used as synonymous terms. Everybody with that? Thus far, in terms of the history of the English Bible, the Geneva's exclusive use of Passover to convey the truth of Pascha in English is the exception rather than what? The rule. As we will observe shortly, it would remain that exception until the 19th century. Okay? Now, folks, I'm just going through the facts here, okay? And when you actually look at this, you realize It was very disconcerting to me to realize how much lack of study the so-called experts on both sides of this issue have put into this issue. Okay? The King James only side, the Sam Gipp explanation that confounds Easter exclusively with Ishtar and Astarte, as well as the other side that is basically accepting this same definition and doesn't bring up any of this stuff that I'm going over with you today to try to explain what's going on. If it's out there, I have not seen it, I have not read it. Okay? And I've seen and read, I don't want to say I've read everything because that's not true, I'm a human being. But I have not seen it this laid out, the way I'm laying this out to you right now, in any pro-King James study, teaching, or writing, or in any anti-King James study, teaching, or writing. Okay? The evidence is overwhelming that these two words are used to refer to what? The same thing. That Easter was being used all the way back in 990 to refer to the Jewish feast in the Gospels, and there's a long, the tradition of using Easter to describe the Jewish festival is of greater historical duration than it is Passover. Okay? Let's look at the Bishop's Bible. So I have this other thing here. This is called the New Testament Octapla. Not to be confused with Origen's Hexapla. Okay? But this is the New Testament Octapla, and what it does is it gives you, for every passage of the New Testament, it gives you Tyndale, the Great Bible, the Geneva Bible, the Bishop's Bible, the Reims Bible, the King James Bible, the RV, and the RSV in parallel columns. Okay? So, you get a book like this, and it will unlock this stuff for you and allow you to literally compare this stuff what? Side by side and study what is going on here. Okay? Now, this is not the only resource. There are also internet resources available where you can look at all this material electronically. Okay? But let's look at the Bishop's Bible. Hang on a second. Okay. The Bishop's Bible of 1568 was the second official Bible of the English Church. It was intended to be a revision of the Great Bible from 1539 in terms of its official use in the Anglican Church. As the title suggests, it was primarily the work of Anglican bishops. Even though the 1560 Geneva Bible adopted the exclusive use of Passover in the New Testament, the Bishop's Bible did not follow suit. The Bishop's Bible retained the use of Easter on three occasions in two verses. So look at John 11:55. Now, this one is fascinating to me because it explicitly calls it the Jews' what? Easter. I can't make the argument any more plainly than that, that they were using Easter to refer to the Jewish what? Passover. Okay? So that verse uses Easter twice, and then lo and behold, what is the next one that uses Easter? Now, look at your chart. Go to your chart here. You look at the column for the Bishop's Bible, 1568. You can see Passover 26 times, Easter how many times? 3 times. Okay? One of which just happens to be what? Acts 12:4, which is the verse we're considering. Okay? Now, it is clear from an examination of the context of John 11:55 that with what the Bishop's Bible calls the Jews' Easter is elsewhere, is everywhere else in the Gospels referred to as Passover, excuse me. Furthermore, three verses later, in John 12:1, the Bishop's Bible mentions what? Passover. Therefore, there is no doubt that the two English words were viewed as a reference to the same event. So John 11:55 says the Jews' Easter, and then it's got Easter there at the end, which I need to bold that. And then three verses later in John 12:1, three verses later says, then Jesus 6 days before what? Folks, Is the Bishop's Bible using Easter and Passover interchangeably to refer to the Jewish Passover, the Jewish festival? Absolutely. Now, do we have huge precedent for them doing that as a perfectly legitimate thing? Yes. Okay? So the rendering of Easter in Acts 12:4 in the Bishop's Bible is of critical importance. First, is there any reason within the Bishop's Bible to think that Easter in Acts 12:4 is referring to something different than the Jews' Easter in John 11:55, i.e. the Jews' Passover? There's no reason for that. Peter's arrested during what? 11. Right in Acts 12:4, the context is Jewish. Herod is doing what he's doing there to please who? The Jews. Okay? Second. Well, let me get back to the point. I got ahead of myself. I'm sorry. The rendering of Easter in Acts 12:4 in the Bishop's Bible is of critical importance. First, is there any reason is there any reason within the Bishop's Bible to think that Easter in Acts 12:4 is referring to something different from the Jews' Easter in John 11:55, the Jews' Passover? John 2:12 says the Jews' what? So John 2:13, says Jews' Passover. John 11:55 refers to it as Jews' what? Easter. And Acts 12:4 is Herod doing something to try to please the Jews? Okay. He is. Okay, we'll study that next week. But second, let me find my 1611 here. According to Rule 1, given to the King James translators, the Bishop's Bible was to serve as the base text of their translation. Rule 1 states, the ordinary Bible read in the church, commonly called the Bishop's Bible, to be followed and as little altered as the truth of the original were what? Okay. So what is the real reason why the King James Bible has Easter in Acts 12:4? Because the base text they were said to use is what? The bishops. The bishops had what in Acts 12:4? Easter. Two times in John 11:55, the King James translators decided to say Passover, and one time in Acts 12:4, they decided to leave it what? Easter. It's as simple as that. It is as simple as that. And they understood that both are perfectly acceptable and appropriate English words for conveying what? The Jewish feast. In English. Okay? Now, so, I'm on the bottom of page 8. When the King James translators left the word Easter in Acts 12:4, they were following Rule 1 as set forth by Bishop Bancroft. The Bishop's Bible had Easter in Acts 12:4, and the King James translators saw no reason to alter the text. So, by the time one gets to the publication of the King James Bible in 1611, there are roughly 80 years of translational precedent regarding the interchangeable use of Easter and Passover after the term is coined by Tyndale in 1530. Both were acceptable ways of conveying the sense of the Greek word Pascha in English. As previously noted, the King James Bible uses the word Easter one time in Acts 12:4. Acts 12:4 being the singular place, so I just skipped the reading of the verse. Acts 12:4 being the singular place that Easter is used by the King James Bible means, of course, that the translators altered the bishop's text in John 11:55 from Easter to Passover. The Second Oxford Company did the translation work on the four Gospels as well as the book of Acts. Twice they elected to change the rendering of Pascha from Easter to Passover, and once they decided to leave it what? Easter. When the translators made this decision, were they intending to refer to a pagan festival celebrated by Herod in Acts 12:4, or are they simply using an acceptable English synonym for Passover? Amen. Given the totality of the evidence presented in this lesson, it makes far more sense to view Easter in Acts 12:4 as a reference to the Jewish festival of Passover than it does to think that the King James translators ascribe a meaning to the word Easter wholly apart from the way the word was used and understood in English, in the English Bible, up to 1611. In short, when they used Easter in Acts 12:4, they were referring to Passover, not a pagan festival celebrated by Herod or a Christian holiday as asserted by the King James Version today. Okay? Now, we've gone through almost an hour worth of, probably for some of you, monotonous historical detail to prove a point. Okay? So, once again, the Oxford English Dictionary bears this out when one considers the second definition of Easter offered therein. Definition number 2 equals Passover. So the Oxford English Dictionary is saying that Easter equaled what? Passover in what? In meaning. Okay? And it says that it is equal to definition 1. So now only in Jewish Easter, or with other contextual indication, is what the OED says about that. So, the OED says that the second meaning of Easter is equal to the first definition of Passover. The first entry for Passover in the OED, to which the second meaning of Easter equates with, reads as follows. The major Jewish spring festival which commemorates the liberation of the people of Israel from Egyptian what? So, the English dictionary is telling you that meant the same thing as what? Did this word exist all the way back to the 990s in Anglo-Saxon as an appropriate way of describing the Jewish feast? Yes. This word doesn't even exist until 1530 when Tyndale what? Coins it out of nothing. He just invents the word. You know, we didn't have enough time to talk about that, but that's brilliant. For Tyndale to invent Passover to describe this, it even sounds the same as the Hebrew word. The sounding Passover and Pasche, the Hebrew word, they even sound what? Tyndale was a genius. We don't have time to get into everything about Tyndale right now. But my point is the dictionary telling you that those two things mean the same thing? Okay, now, here's where the cheese gets binding. So according to the OED, Easter and Passover mean the same thing. Clinching the point are the historical word usage examples provided for the OED's entry for Easter, two of which are scriptural in nature. '35 Bible by Coverdale, Ezekiel 45:21, ye shall keep what? Easter. And what's this? The dictionary gives you the 1611 King James Bible, Acts 12:4, intending after Easter to bring him forth as a definition of what? Easter. The dictionary is telling you that when the King James translators used Easter in Acts 12:4, they were using it to say what? Now, if you don't believe me, go to Appendix B on page 12. Look at the entry. And you see where it says 1611. I'm on this page. Appendix B. Does everybody see that it equals Passover? You drop down, follow the years by chronological order, down to the year 1611. And what does it say? It says Acts 12:4, intending after Easter to bring him one. The dictionary is telling you that Easter and Acts 12:4 is a reference to what? Passover. So, no one apparently read the dictionary. No one apparently looked at any of the stuff that we've looked at today, or they would not have gotten it so wrong on both sides. Okay, now go back to page 10 and let's finish this up. The most authoritative source on the history of the English language, the OED, just said that Easter in Acts 12:4 is a reference to Passover. When the King James translators rendered Pascha as Easter in Acts 12:4, they were referring to the Jewish Passover, not a pagan holiday or a Christian one. Festival. So, conclusion. So far, through two lessons on this topic, we have debunked the following myths. Number one, Easter is an exclusively pagan word. Number two, the Greek word Pascha never meant Easter in English. I've proved to you that is absolutely not true for a second. Okay? Third, the English word Easter has no association to the Jewish day of what? We've debunked that. Okay? Moreover, we have proved beyond historical doubt that Pascha meant Easter in English before the word Passover even existed. Likewise, we have demonstrated that even after the invention of the word Passover by Tyndall in 1530, the two words were used interchangeably to refer to the Jewish feast. Okay? So then why did neither Samuel C. Gipp nor James R. White discuss any of these facts in their respective discussions of Easter in Acts 12:4? I'll leave that for you to answer on your own. All that remains for us to do now is to demonstrate that Passover is an acceptable biblical term to refer to the entire Paschal week. Okay? All I have to do is show you that Passover is an acceptable biblical term to refer to this entire what? And if I can show that, then the case is closed that Easter in Acts 12:4 is a reference to what? Passover. In your King James Bible.